So, I'm assuming everybody had good holidays. I know we did. We had the two oldest grandkids over, and we went down and saw the Christmas lights down at Delaware. It's been a while since I've been there, and oh my goodness, it has grown. And but anyhow, we got them home that night, Carter, and they were putting them in bed in our guest bedroom. And, you know, in our guest bedroom, there's a lot of things family-related. You know, pictures, maybe some toys, some old things, quilts, whatnot. Well, a while back, I had acquired a half mannequin to put my dress blues on. I figured I paid so much for them, they ought to, at least somebody ought to see them, if not just in that room. And anyhow, but if you know what a mannequin looks like in the dark, Grandma was in there and Carter laid there and said, "Grandma, Dad has to go." He would not sleep in that room. I mean, of course, it is a headless mannequin, so I don't know that that helps the fear any better, but it was just kind of funny that he did not like Grandpa's uniform sitting at the foot of the bed. Oh, praise God. But you know what? It's moments like that that you sit back and you laugh. When your children would say things, when your grandkids say things, oh my goodness, the two of them. And a little Harper, she, you remember, she has a vocabulary on her. I was giving them some fruit, and I said, they had some raspberries, they had some blueberries. And I said, "Harper, would you like some grapes?" And she's standing there, and she said, "That would be fantastic," or "That would be fabulous." What five-year-old uses fabulous correctly? But she uses $10 million words sometimes, and she is just a hoot. But, but you know, you forget about the good times because you go through a lot of crap, don't you? She stuck her head up out of the... We took the car, and they were standing on the console with their head through the sunroof, going through the lights. And she's just up here, and she's like, "This is awesome!" The excitement in a child. See, that's what our daddy misses, our Heavenly Father. We don't get excited anymore. We grew up. We got old. And when I say we got old, we got crusty. We look at the new generation, we give them crap. Give them a just blah, this new generation. This new generation is faced with so much. Back in my day, Vietnam was just ending and had ended. I personally didn't know anybody who had gone to war. Heard about the arms race, the guerrillas down in, you know, Central America. Like, I didn't know they had guerrillas in Central America. Well, wrong kind of guerrilla. The Cold War was on and heavy. During a tornado, you'd hide under a desk. But fear. And the same things were said about my generation. Same things were said about your generation. Because we live in fear. The Bible doesn't say we should ever live in fear. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to love. Now, love is not just an acceptance of sin. That's what it's become today. There is still right and there is still wrong. There is still black, there is still white. There is still left, there is still right. There is still up and down, east and west. Nothing has changed. Too many people have changed love into fear, which boils into hate. And believers can't operate in hate. It's a power that is as powerful as love is. I know we've been taught we got to love God and hate sin. I hate that. And I taught this message years ago, and many of you, you got a hold of it. And we throw it around so often in our words that we can't decipher, well, I hate the Michigan Wolverines, or I hate the Ohio State Buckeyes. You're stupid. They're people playing a football game, a game that our little boys play, and we love watching them play it. But yet we allow something to burn deep inside of us, something that's not from God. And the problem is, it doesn't stop there. Hatred is just like a bad spot on an apple. If you leave that hatred, it touches the next one. It spreads its disease. Not too long ago, I bought a box of fruit from an Amishman. Found out what he was doing. He was putting all the rotten stuff in the bottom of them. So I won't be buying fruit from him anymore. But I got down there, and a third of it was rotten. And I found the one that caused it, because it was totally decayed. See, love is as infectious as hatred. We have teams we all root for. Why? Why do I care? The military, each branch gives everybody garbage. But you know what? I guarantee you, when it comes down to it, we all got each other's back. I personally love the ones that come up and they're not, and the hilarious part is, it's never been an actual sailor who's ever came up to a Marine and said, you know, the Marines are a Department of the Navy. Never had that happen. It's always a parent or a grandparent when they find out I'm a Marine, and they, you know, you're a Department of the Navy. You're right. We're the men's department. The man has yet to talk to me. But my son's a sailor. I give him crap and he gives me crap. Hoorah. But I love him. I love the men and women he's with, serving with. My two brothers, both Army vets. My sister-in-law, an Army vet. Former brother-in-law, Army vet. I love them to death. We don't agree on everything. The Bible doesn't say we have to agree on everything to love. One person might think Toyota trucks are the best in the world. Another one thinks that Chevy, Dodge, Ford. Or our tractors. Lord, have mercy about our tractors. We find something. And if anybody ever, you know, I will play the game with you. But if you ever cross the line and think that I hate you because of that, you're nuts. I don't care what color tractor you drive. Does it plow your field? Does it harvest your wheat? Then you use your equipment. You use what you can afford. But love. Love is a gift. It's not a thing. It's an actual gift. 1 Corinthians 13. I've got to turn this on. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. We're not talking about the cymbals when they're played in the drums, when they're played with the right timing. You know, one of the worst sounds you can have in a band is a drummer who can't keep time. He's the heartbeat. He's got to be steady. There's got that clanging cymbal. You can't just keep sitting there banging on it. Because then, anymore, the older I've gotten, there are certain sounds that they go in my ears and they just sit there. And then my eyeballs start spinning. That's what Paul's talking about. But you see, here's the thing. This chapter is called the love chapter for a reason. All 13 verses is talking about the gift of love. But you see, this isn't the only chapter that was talking about it. Chapter 12 was also talking about it. It was talking about gifts and the diversities of gifts. And this carries on. He said, love is a gift from God. I love that when we see each other, we pray for them. It doesn't matter if they root for your team or not. And I will never pray for your team to win. Ever. I've had people try that. God don't care. But the reality is, love carries a lot. And though I have the gift of prophecy, now listen, the gift of prophecy is something that has been, in my grand opinion, something that's been abused for quite some time. That's why I'm not a fan of, let's all get together and give prophecies. That's wrong. That's an error. Because I have family, and I know other people who got into that. They don't even serve God. They're serving demons. Literally, they hold seances now. The gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Boy, wouldn't that be great? You understand everything. How special you would be. Do you really want to understand everything? There's some things I just assume not even think about. And I have all knowledge. Wow, that would be so powerful, wouldn't it? And though I have all faith, do you have faith? I've got all the faith in the world. I can believe God for everything. So that I can remove mountains. But have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts or my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. All right, so you gave everything you got. You went and you bought food and you bought clothing. And you stand up in front of everybody saying, I did this. You didn't. You did it for you. You didn't do it for them. Bible tells us not to toot our own horn. That's paraphrased. Let somebody else do it. Love suffers long. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love has compassion, empathy on people. You look at the homeless and you judge them until you've been homeless. And all they needed was some kindness. You look at the poor and you say, why don't you go get a job? Go get a better job. Well, maybe they do have some issues that cannot get them a better job. Not everybody can be a rocket scientist. We need butchers. We need bakers. Candlestick makers. Love does not envy. Love does not look at my neighbor and say, oh, they got a new truck. I need to get a new truck. They got a new tractor. I need to get a new tractor. We have seasons in our lives. There have been times in my life I've sat and I watched people and they just get stuff. They just, man, you just keep getting crap. Man, here I am. I'm like, okay, Lord, I got $2 $5 bills. That's it for a couple days. Put them in my wallet and I tell them, you are male and you are a female. You two go in my wallet and you make more fives. Lots. Be fruitful and multiply. Unfortunately, that does not work. Love does not parade itself. Love's not up here saying, oh, look at what I did, guys. There's nobody doing more than me. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. I'm telling you right now, folks, I have seen some of the rudest people I know claim to be Christians. A couple months ago, I said something to somebody. Didn't even think about what I'd said, but I picked up on a change, and I said something to Angela. She was there. She said, now say what you said again. Why did I say that? Why? Why did I even open my mouth? I didn't have to say a thing, but I opened my mouth. God said, you know what you got to do, right? You got to repent. Not to me. I didn't hurt God. I had to go to them. So I got the time. A couple weeks ago, I said, I owe you an apology. I was wrong. That's real fun to do, isn't it? But you see, love behaved, that wasn't love. I behaved rudely out of my flesh. And I know why I did what I did, but it was no excuse. There's reasons behind what we do, right? We've all got a reason why we did something in reality. You know, it's not like when you were a child and your mom or dad say, why did you do that? I don't know. Cop pulls you over. Why are you speeding? I don't know. You know. You're in a hurry to get home. You're tired. There's always a reason. We just don't want to give it. And honestly, it doesn't usually matter at this point. But it does not seek its own. Love is not out there seeking its own desire. Love's desire is for other people. That's not to say that love does not need a break. Even Jesus had to take a break daily. He got away from people. He disappeared. They didn't know where he was at. Tell them to take a boat, go across the lake, and he'd meet them on the other side. Did anybody ever think about it? He had already planned on walking across the water that night. Just so happens a storm blew in. But love is not provoked. Love will not be provoked into a John Deere or Farmall. Doesn't matter. They're all the same. Do they all break? Same thing on your trucks. Oh, I like Chevy. I like Ford. Your Ford's a piece of junk. Your Chevy's a piece of junk. Guess what I've learned? I've had them both. They all break. It thinks no evil. This is the hard one. Well, I'm just calling it as I see it. I see what's happening. And this is what kind of person. There's one thing to see. Somebody for what they are, right? You know people. But then when you start thinking, they'll never change. Did you change? I'm a despicable human being. I'll just tell you that right now. I can be sneaky. I could. I could be the most evil, vile person you ever wanted to meet if it weren't for God. does not rejoice in iniquity. He doesn't rejoice when somebody's sin has been found out. That's what the church has a problem doing sometimes. We see people, I knew it, I knew it, I told you. Why are we rejoicing? Last year, a preacher that I really enjoyed his messages, something he had done over 20 plus years ago came out. He had repented and he had told people about it. But it came out. He no longer preaches. And there were people rejoicing, well, justice can be done. What justice came of that? The woman who was party to it was just as guilty as him, but at this point, she blew up his ministry. She needed that off her chest. She didn't need anything off her chest. She had forgiven. And he didn't rape her. She confessed that it was even consensual. But it rejoices in the truth. The truth is, folks, the truth doesn't move. The truth does not shift from one side to the other. The truth stays right here. The truth is, Jesus is coming back. The truth is, this world will burn one day. Why? Because God has already seen it. God is already there. And God knows there will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. Where do you think we go, folks? He's got a city that comes down. I kind of like to think it's like the movie Independence Day. It comes down and sits over Jerusalem. If you haven't seen Independence Day, it's a movie about aliens. Big old ship comes down. And that's exactly what John saw, was something that came down. And that's the bride of Christ. That's where we are. Bears all things. I've had people, how can you tolerate, how can you put up with them? I pray for them because I know they can change. And I choose to see the best and the good in people. We've all got our faults. There's not one of us in here is righteous in and of ourselves. We're righteous because of what Jesus Christ did. And if we are allowed to our own vices, we will become terrible people. So if I see somebody's changing, I give them that grace. Give them that mercy. They need it. Why? Because I still need some changing. It believes all things. It does not believe all evil things. What did you hear about Pastor Art? Crying out loud, the rumors. I told you a couple weeks ago that Johnny said, yeah, that's why. He said, that was the first thing I heard about your church is you played with snakes. We do not. These are leather, but they could be snake skin. I quit chasing snakes down and killing them because they eat rats and bugs and stuff. And I've got lots of rats and mice and chipmunks around my house. But it believes all things. It believes that they're good. I've had people come and tell me things about some of y'all. And I said, you know what? That doesn't matter. They serve God. It may be an issue right now, but it won't be for long. Because I believe God can change us. God changed me. It hopes all. It hopes all things. Hope is a dangerous weapon, folks. It's dangerous to the devil. I've got a future and a hope. Now he was telling Jeremiah this. But we can take it. Because if he's got a future and a hope for the prophet, how much more has he got for you? He knows. And so our love has to hope all things. It endures all things. How many of you have been in a situation where you're like, oh, Lord, I don't know how much I can endure, and then something else happened? Something else hit you, and you're like, Lord, that's all I needed was one more thing. He's like, hold on, because there's more coming. That's why he told the Apostle Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. But love never fails. We fail, right? Our degree of love will fail. God's love does, because that's what this is. This isn't the gushy feeling we get about people. One of the hardest lessons to learn for anybody is how to love people that are unlovable. How do you love people you don't know? How do you? Well, I can tell you right now, the military taught me a little thing about that. You're going to die for somebody you don't know. That's called love. Whether there are prophecies. And again, folks, prophecies are actually supposed to be a word from God to the body. And I judge prophecies. And when your prophecy has failed, you are on the false prophet list. I don't want a word that God's going to give me $1 million in 6 months. I trust God to take care of me. If God tells me that I need to go down to North Carolina and do something, God's going to provide the truck, the equipment, and all the supplies. And if God does not provide, it wasn't God's will. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, I believe in the power of speaking in tongues. I do. But let me tell you right now, I would rather speak 100 words in your native tongue than to come at you with a prophecy you have no idea what I said. How are you edified? How are you built up? My job is to build you up. I know a little bit of Spanish. Little Russian, little Japanese, very little in all of them, a little Mandarin. But whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, folks, it will vanish. Why? Because we won't need it. Sometimes we have knowledge because we heard, right? That's what knowledge is. Knowledge is information. That's pretty much all it is. Knowledge, I heard somebody say the other day, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting a tomato in your fruit salad. It's a practical application of the knowledge. It don't work. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. Our knowledge is limited to the information at hand, even our prophecies. So many prophecies we have to interpret. We have to have somebody else. There are still prophecies that are sitting on the shelf because we only know part. And everybody that keeps saying, well, I read the book of Revelation, Daniel, did it. Let me tell you right now, The Apostle John and the prophet Daniel both had to eat a book. And it made them sick. God said, you will write this down and you will eat it. The prophecy came. There's parts we don't know. And we're running around, well, this is going to happen and in this order. Yeah, might want to rethink that. There's parts that God said, I don't want my people to know it right now. We're bad enough as it is. We try to stop the rise of the Antichrist. The Antichrist has been here forever. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. This is such a twisted scripture by religious people because they're talking about tongues. This scripture is, this entire chapter has very little to do with tongues. Very little. It just mentions it. Because this entire chapter is about love. The gift of love. A gift that can go beyond. Sometimes to love somebody, you have to discipline them, right? I loved my sons, and I had to discipline them. And there came a point where it no longer needed battle. It came, well, I guess you're not going anywhere for a couple weeks. And it affected them because they had lives. If I got grounded, big whoop. Woo-hoo! What are you going to take away? I'll go mow the yard. I do that all the time anyhow. Go do the dishes. Do those anyhow. Go split wood. Not a big deal. But when that which is perfect has come, he's talking about love. And the perfect is mature love. There's a level you get. And it just amazes me as I get going. I remember being 23. I was an NCO in the Marine Corps. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm the stuff, man. I strutted around. Yeah, I was actually one of the senior in my unit. I had 2 years of experience. Man, I'm strutting around. Yeah, I'm the most senior NCO or corporal here. Da, 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 da. I look at pictures. I got a picture back in there from 1992. I look at that picture, I'm like, dude, you didn't know squat. You were 22. 25, I felt a little bit better. I got a little bit more time under me. My brain had supposedly fully developed. 30 hit. Yeah, I know more. 35, 40, 45, 50. I'm knocking on 55. You know what really changed? What took place from 25 to 55? Life. Living. We're all in the same boat. You were just as dumb as I was. I know it all. Ladies, when you have a baby and a grandmother tells you something, listen. Listen to them. Not wives' tales. The knowledge and the wisdom that they gleaned from life. Our first baby, we protect them, you know. We make sure that car seat is bolted to the floorboard. It ain't moving. Yeah, we had 5 years in between ours, so I'd had a little more life experience by the time number two rolled around. It was lucky it got strapped in sometimes. It ain't going nowhere. No, we did strap it in. But we quit worrying about every little thing. Now, when Joshua would fall, I didn't go, oh! I'm like, stop. Why? Because I'm the oldest of five. I had watched my parents raise, and I'm 14 years older than the youngest. So I was a teenager while he was learning to walk. And so we learned, I always told her, I said, don't suck the oxygen out of the room. He'll be okay. And sure enough, that's the way our boys were. Now, when we saw blood or fingertips hanging off or whatnot, we got a little more concerned. But then that which is in part will be done away with, our knowledge. we'll be able to walk in full love, knowing, you know what, my mother-in-law, she's got a lot more life experience than me and Angela. There are things we listened. I mean, she listened to her mother. Thank God. She's saying, now, honey, with your kids, one, don't put them in bed with you. They won't leave. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Boy, isn't that funny? We say stupid things when we're children. We do stupid things. How many of you remember show and tell? Some of us in here are old enough. Show and tell was, I can't remember when they phased it out, but particularly in the first grade, I remember I'm 6 years old. I wanted to show everybody something, but I didn't have anything. But I had on my Winnie the Pooh jeans. And they had Winnie the Pooh on the button. And I went around and showed everybody the Winnie the Pooh on my button. I look back and say, oh, that was so stupid. That was so stupid. I still don't know how my teacher, how she got through that day. But I understood as a child. There's a lot of things you don't understand as a child, isn't there? Why did Dad do that? Well, you go out and you tried to do what you saw your dad doing. Or you said, I got a better way to do it. That's what I love. Dad, you're an idiot. Do it this way. Okay, go do it. And then when you see them go flying across the room, because the way Dad did it, he was braced. Dad knew it was going to kick. Why does Dad know it was going to kick? Because at one time in Dad's life, Dad was the one flying across the room. I tell my boys, turn on the lights when you go in the barn. Why? Because Dad broke his ribs falling on a jack stand. I turn on my lights now. Oh, now I don't know. I still kind of walk through my house, but we have enough little burners and night lights in the house. It's still lit up. But I've got a black dog. You can't see a black dog laying on the floor in the shade or in the shadow. And he likes to lay right in the middle of the road. But you know what? Even he's gotten wise. Because I'll tell you, one day I came in, I'd been outside working, and I came in and I had my Red Wing boots on, and I just needed water, and I came flying around the corner. And poor Remy was laying there on his back, sound asleep, and I didn't see him. And I caught him with my right foot, right the side of his head. Let me tell you a little something about Remy. He's a smart dog. He hears me coming in. Instantly, I hear him roll over, and he's up. He no longer lays there when he knows that they don't know I'm here. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We do. We put away some childish things. Being stupid should be one of them. It doesn't mean we stop doing stupid things. Amen. Men, we all do stupid things. I've done some stupid things recently. Thinking, oh, I'm smarter. Well, if I was really smart, I wouldn't be doing it. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. The mirror we're looking into is the image God has of us. We can just see a faint bit of it. See, if I take my glasses off, I can see Caleb, but he's a little fuzzy. But I'm on, oh, hey, that's better. See, when we become mature and we look into God's eyes of love, we see ourselves. Because he sees us perfect. He sees us not losing our temper, not saying stupid things to people. He sees us full of patience, kindness. That's who he sees. It's not who I am right now, but that's who he sees. And so I have to remember that when I look into that, I'm changing. And I give myself that grace. All right. I can't justify, well, just sin. I can't justify it, but I can identify it. But one day we will totally be known as we are known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These are gifts. Faith is a gift. Hope is a gift. Love is a gift. But the greatest of these is love. It's not just a wall applique. It's not just a little sign sold in every craft store across this country. It's truth. Of all the gifts we have gifts of teaching, gifts of prophecy, gift of service, gifts of this, gifts of that. But out of all of these, here's the three greatest: faith, hope, and love. Because your faith can grow. Your hope can grow. Your love can grow. But out of all the three of these, love will carry the other two. Love is the one thing that we need to focus on. Not getting rich. I'm not saying you don't use wisdom in your finances. I'm not saying you don't get that education. I'm not saying that at all. But in the end, we're all going to be laying there on our last, taking our last breath. Are you seriously going to be thinking, I could have made another $100,000? No. And I've heard of studies, I can't say that I've ever been part of one, but they say that when you're dying, your life does. Your mind starts playing your life. And I hope you're not sitting there thinking about, oh, I could have just made more money. I spent my entire life working, 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 and my kids grew up, and now the cat's in the cradle. No. So what if I had to teach my children how to work? So what if I made them work? I never bought any of their cars. And if you did, praise God, you were able to do that. But I will tell you this. Anybody who's ever had my sons work for them, they come back and said, you did a good job. I don't care how stupid they were. When you have their employer say, you did good. Well, thank you very much. Because as parents, you know how hard it is to raise your children. But Tommy's got a new truck. Look at the success they've got going on right now. Everybody follows them. Everybody loves them. Where are they at now? Oh, that's right. They can't get a job because they were never taught how to work. They were never expected to work. Well, I want my child going through with their education. My sons were on the honor rolls. One of them had a traumatic head injury and then got on the honor roll. We're not for certain what that took place there. But you see, folks, babying them doesn't do it all. God doesn't baby us. Oh, Lord. Lord, I got three kids. I need this. I need that. God's like, you got a good house. You got a good car. One time God even said, I didn't tell you you couldn't get a car. That's right, you didn't. I'm listening to the sage wisdom of somebody else instead of you. And that's back when I had my Sanford and Son truck, the truck of many colors, that lug nuts like to fly off when you're going down the road. Got 9 miles to the gallon. That was a cool truck, but wasn't cheap to drive. The greatest of all this is love, folks. When it comes to raising your kids, teach them how to love. I don't know which one of my parents had the experience, but they always told me to treat everybody the same. And so I did. You know, the kid that doesn't take a bath, who picks his nose and eats it right in class. Now, I ain't saying we hung out, but I treated him the same as I did the richest kid in the class. I never looked down on somebody because they couldn't wear Winnie the Pooh pants. I was never allowed to act like that. You want good kids? Because God wants us to be good too. You look around. How am I treating these people? Glenn Kaiser said it best this way. He said, the way you love God the most is how you treat somebody you love the least. That ought to be your change for this year. How am I loving that person that I despise? Every time I've heard that, some of you would have done through Glenn Kaiser under the religious bus because, well, he plays rock and roll. He's reached out to people in the inner city of Chicago. I mean, that's something, folks. That's not a safe place. And that's where he raised his family. We have a community here. Some of you live in different communities. Praise God. It's what we need. But God wants all of his people to grow. He wants them to be able to grow up and look in the mirror and they're like, hey, that vaguely looks like me, but it looks like a smarter, better looking me. When I quit looking at people through the natural eyes and just seeing the natural, and I asked God to help me change, and I said, let me see them as you see them. Because as a pastor, that's vitally important. Help me see them the way you see them. And I started seeing people how God sees them. And I was like, Lord, they're beautiful. They're handsome. But you see, as believers, the thing we do is we let envy rule us. Well, I want. You don't want my position. I didn't want it. But I'm still here. Because there was something God did in me. And that was create a love for people that I was never coming back to Ohio for. And yet here I am. Because God said, you need to go home. I love them too. So this year, your goal, I don't care how much weight you lose. I don't care how healthy you get. I don't care how rich you get. It's all going to burn. That's why Jesus said, don't lay up treasures here on earth that are going to go away. Work on your love. That's the one gift that can never be taken from you. Defend the defenseless. Love the unlovable. And care for the careless. And watch what God does in your life. Amen? All right, let's stand. So yes, I think we got lots of food. Lots of stuff. If you want to stay, stay. We have plenty of food out there. I am going to bless it here. And then if anybody's part of the team that gets stuff ready, you can go ahead and go. But fellowship is an important part of things. We had fellowship the other night, and Phil and I were talking about the men's breakfast. The fellowship is vitally important. Having dinner with people, being in their midst, That's why this is important. This is life changing. Let's go. Let's go before the Lord. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I thank you for the love that you give us. Lord God, I thank you that Jesus gave it freely. I ask now, Father, that you help us all to work on that. Father, that you will change us, but there are things we need to change. We know it. Father, we all have our reasons. But Lord God, may we not hold on to them as excuses. May we accept responsibility and change. You've put it into our hands now, Lord God. We will not beat ourselves up, for you love us. We are not sorry individuals, but we will repent. Lord God, I thank you that you're strengthening each and every person who dares to believe, who trusts in your name, who dares to listen to your word. Father, I thank you now that you're going before them. Lord, I thank you that you're making their path straight. Father, you're revealing pitfalls and traps that were designed to stop them. And Lord God, we thank you for the fellowship we're about to have. I bless the food, Lord God, to its intended use. Lord, may it nurture us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.